All right, just greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be here with you again. Glad Mike's made it back safely. Welcome him back home with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Lord, we ask, Father, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father, that you would give us courage to stand fast, Lord. Lord, that you would strengthen the weak, Father. Lord, that you'd help us be faithful to you. Lord, we ask that your blessing upon your word. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, God. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Beginning in verse 15. This maybe not sound like it, but I do want to encourage mothers today in this. When we get a little further along, maybe you'll understand where I'm going here. I want to encourage parents in general, but mothers a little more specifically, maybe. Just want us to be aware, just kind of some little bit of guidance, a little bit of encouragement about being a parent or a leader or just, you know, a big brother or grandparent, whatever. Just to see and know that we have an enemy in this world. And we have an enemy, and I think that's the reason God put the instinct in mothers that is there if it's not just completely overwhelmed, if it's not completely washed away by society, if it's not smothered by our emotions, but that instinct of being a mother. And we'll get to that here. We'll read this, and I want to come back to that a little bit. It says, then the Pharisees went out and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And that's the main verse I want to get to. How they may trap him in what he said. These were the Pharisees. These were the religious people of the day. These were the educated religious people of the day. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth, and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any. I want you to just notice the method that's being used. And the kind of the underlying thought of this is the devil cheats. That's kind of what I want to put in our mind. The devil doesn't play fair. The devil cheats. Whenever I mention that, I want to mention that because, you know, as children of God reflect the character of God and the image of God, the children of Satan reflect Satan. You can see patterns in the world. it's to God in the spirit world, it's clear as a bell. To us, we get all muddled up because we see outside, we see things that look the same, but whenever you really look at the spirit behind what's going on, you can clearly see that it's either of God or it's of the devil. The Pharisees went out and plotted together. They schemed this. This wasn't anything that they were just living their lives and a situation happened to them. They got together in a big huddle and planned something. Satan is a schemer. He's always looking for an opportunity. He's planning, he's scheming, he's trying to find something. How they might trap him. You know, envy is a big problem in Christianity and religion, in the world. And if someone can't accomplish what someone else can, they begin to scheme away how they can take that person down. Instead of rising themselves or being encouragement and joining together, they begin to plot and to plan and to scheme how we can take that down. You know, that's the way the devil operates. He'll never measure up to God, and yet he wants everything that God has. And so all he can do is try to scheme to bring him down. He'll never attain to where he's at, but he plans and schemes and organizes, trying to do anything he can to take him down. That's the way he operates. And when we see people like this operating in the same way, we can see there's a pattern here. This is the way Satan operates. And when a person operates that same way, we know who's guiding him and what way he's following. And that they might trap him in what he said. They were planning. They were plotting. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians saying, "Teacher, we know you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and defer to no one." You know, here's one of the plots and the plans that he uses. One of the ways he gets his foot in the door, he comes in and he starts, "Boy, you're right. You're just doing a lot of right things. You know, we know that you're from God. We've heard a lot of the things that you say. And oh, they're right. We really agree with it." They come in scheming, trying to get your guard let down so that you begin to say, "Well, wow, we're on the same page here." "You defer to no one, for you're not partial to any." They're just saying, "Oh, you're the fairest person we know. I mean, you're just right there." This is what the enemy is telling Christ. And he uses the same methods today. But Jesus, and then he said, "Tell us, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?" Why did they ask him this question? We won't get into a lot of it, but why did they ask him this question? Because they thought they could trap him in it. Satan is always trying to set a trap for you. And he'll come and he'll entice you by siding up to you, trying to show your similarities and wondering why we're not right together with each other. We have a lot of similarities. You know, we hear a lot of talk today that, well, let's focus on the things we do agree on instead of the things we disagree on. If we're of two different spirits, it doesn't matter how many things we agree on. There is nothing to agree on if we are of a different spirit. There is nothing there. It doesn't matter how many outward points we can check off and say, yeah, we agree here, we agree here, we agree here. But if one spirit's of God and one spirit's not of God, there is no fellowship there. There's nothing to work with. You know, we see it in the country today. There's people who love this country and love the freedom and love the foundation of what the Constitution was to restrict the government from restricting people. And they love the basic principles that those are found on. And then there's other people who hate those principles and use those principles, and they don't want the same end goal. One of them wants to destroy it, and one of them wants to promote freedom. You can't make those two agree together. You can't just go to Congress and just work out a deal where everybody's happy. You might, but when you deal with compromising that way, it always goes the wrong direction. The devil always gets freedom loses. That's just a parallel pattern of how things go in the spiritual realm. Look how they attack everything. And the real heart of what they're attacking is freedom. That's the way the devil works with us. He comes trying to, people come trying to say, oh, we can just agree, we can agree, we look at all the things we agree on. But they want a completely different goal than what we're shooting for. And there's no agreement there. That's the way they come. That's the way these people came to Jesus. They were trying to say, look at all these things that you're doing right. Building him up. Patronizing him. Trying to make things, you know, making let his guard down. Is what they were trying to do. But Jesus perceived their malice. Jesus perceived their evil intent. And said, why are you testing me? You hypocrites. Why are you testing me? Then he went on to explain. You know, show me the coin used for a poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is it? And they said to him, Caesar's. Then he said to them, render to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things which are God's. He foiled them. He didn't compromise with them. He foiled them. Because he perceived their evil intent when they came. But Jesus perceived their malice. And he said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? And he called them hypocrites. And you know, we think the word hypocrite, we think of someone that knows exactly what they're doing and they're trying to undermine everything. And there are some that are that way. But most hypocrites are someone who really is very sincere in what they believe. They were hypocrites because these were part of the religious sects of the day that were leading things in the religious world. And people listened to them. They had power. They had credibility. But you see what spirit they were of. They were kind of trying to trick him. Trying to deceive. The devil don't play fair. He don't fight fair. one of the tactics that he uses is he knows the rule book. He doesn't live by it. And this is, you know, you hear of people doing things today and we say, well, they're so hypocritic. It's so hypocritical. The things that they're doing. One day they believe one thing and the next day they say another. That's because they've thrown the rule book out as far as they're concerned. They don't care about the rule book. But they know it and they will hold you to it. They're looking for a way to use the rule book, watching you, trying to find a place where they can say, gotcha. They're going to, you know, it's not a fair playing field. He knows the rules, doesn't abide by them, but he knows them and is going to keep you right on your toes. To where if you mess up, supposedly all your credibility goes right out of the window because you didn't just follow those rules to him. And all the while, he could care less about those rules except for how he can use them to his advantage. It's like someone punching you in the nose and then suing you because you got blood on his shirt. That's the way they'll do things. That's the way the devil operates. He'll punch you right in the nose. He'll do the meanest thing he can to you just so you'll react. And then, look how he reacts. Look how he reacted to that. You see the spirit behind all of this? There's a story in the book of Jasher that tells about a city that had become so corrupt. They'd lost all their judgment. And they'd made all kinds of crazy rules. And one of the rules was, if someone punches you and draws blood, they can sue you. And so this Jasher was brought before the court because he had punched someone and drew blood. And the man was suing him. And so the judge ruled, well, our law says that if someone punches you and draw blood, you owe the other person money. That's the corrupt judgment. That's the hypocrisy. That's the devil don't play by the rules. Well, this man said, is that your law, judge? And the judge said, yes. So he hauled off and punched the judge in the nose and drew blood. And he said, okay, now you pay him. Instead of paying me, you just pay the fine. Just the foolishness of bad judgment. And it sounds crazy to us. But that's the way the devil operates. That's my point. The devil doesn't play fair. If you have a weakness, do you know where the devil's going to punch you? He's going to punch you in your weakness. You have something you're weak in, an area that you're kind of wavering on, you can expect to get kicked there over and over and over again because he don't play fair. He fights dirty. You know, when a person gets knocked down and you're laying there on the ground and you just barely get up, you know what happens? You know, an honorable person maybe in a fight like that would wait until the person gets up. But that's not the way the devil does it. He'll kick you when you're down. And he'll kick you and kick you and kick you and kick you. Because there's no fairness about him. He's got a goal in mind. That's to destroy anything godly and anything that represents God in any way, form, or fashion. He'll attack you and attack you and attack you. And never let up. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need a defender. That's why we need someone with strength and courage and someone to give us peace. Because we're in a world that is playing by Satan's rules. And we're trying to play by God's. That's the world we live in. Mothers. What's that got to do with mothers? God, you know, when we think of mothers as a woman, but it's much deeper than that. God put the motherly instinct in animals as well. You know, there's a saying in Proverbs that talks about the bear robbed of her whelps. You know, we've all heard that there's hardly anything more ferocious than for you to get between a mother bear and her cubs. She has an instinct in her to protect her babies, to protect her cubs. That's the mother instinct. The Bible talks about that, how Jesus would gather the children of Israel together like a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. That's the mother instinct. That's what God put there. That motherly instinct. The world is trying everything it can to destroy that. You know, there's nothing breaks down society more than the family being broken down. There's nothing that destroys societies more than the mother not having the motherly instincts that were instilled by our Creator, not only in humans, but in almost every other creature there is. You know, there's some of the foolish animals in nature. They're attributed fools because of the way they leave their young. You know, there's a few animals that don't take care of their babies. They harm them, in fact, sometimes. And they're always attributed to being as fools. Because they're going against that motherly instinct that God's instilled. That motherly instinct is under attack today because Satan don't play fair. You know, one of the hardest things for me is whenever I think of how a mother can destroy her own children. Set them against anything that's good and right. You know, that mothers take their precious little children and they destroy them themselves for their own selfish gain or for whatever they might think they're doing. Children are so helpless, so moldable. They're so changeable. That's why God gave us mothers. So the mother can be like a she-bear whenever it comes to someone trying to manipulate or destroy their own children. There's a protective instinct. And what I want us to see is use that protective instinct as your primary goal in raising your children. Knowing that the devil is going to do everything he can to destroy your children, to influence them. You know, that's why there's laws today that are having to be written about people sending their children to school. And they're wanting to teach them all kinds of things whenever they're kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Teach them all kinds of confusing things that they have no business even talking about at that age. Getting them all confused. Why do they start that young? Because it works. They get some kind of crazy liberal idea in their heads. Whenever they start from the very young age, start trying to indoctrinate them. And it works. And the younger they can get them, the better it works. They can turn them completely against their parents. They can have their children watching their parents and make sure they don't do, you know, in some of the communist countries, the children come home from school and see their parents praying or reading the Bible, and they go home and tell the teacher. And they come home and they come to that home and take their parents away from them because they're a bad influence. That's why they do this. Is it fair? Not if you're on the devil's, or not if you're, unless you're not on the devil's team. It's all fair to him. He'll take the most helpless one child here, the most vulnerable, the weakest. And guess who he wants to attack? That's the one. That's why God has given a motherly instinct. You know, God didn't give us children so we could have little princesses or little buddies or little friends. Or he didn't give us children so that we could have as much fun with them as just for our own fun and pleasure. That's not what he gave children for. That's not the motherly instinct. It's not the motherly instinct to see how much pleasure, how much fun, how big a time we can give our children. That motherly instinct that God gave is so that we can protect them from everything in this world that's trying to destroy them. And he'll come in with a lot of similarities to get his foot in the door. You know, a lot of similarities, a lot of things. Well, we're on the same page here. And the next thing you know, he's got something in there, slips things in. It's all around us because he don't play fair. He's got to get past you. You're the defense of your child. And if that defense is weakened by flattery, it's weakened by emotion or any of those things, guess where the devil hits? Right there at that weak point. The instinct that God gave is for you to protect your children. You know, things they read, it's all there. And it may sound good at first, but there's a lot of things, there's a lot of ways that he can interject thoughts into their mind, trying to pattern them. Things they watch, see, or hear, they may seem pretty innocent, but you better be on your toes because there's all kind of ways their friends, people they associate with, family, all kinds of ways he's trying to get in there to your children. Be a mother. You know, when I say be a mother like that, I don't mean, you know, this kind little thing. I mean be a mother. Look at your children like you was a bear and someone's trying to take them from you. That's being a mother. Guard your children. because the devil don't play fair. The devil don't fight fair. And the devil don't play for peanuts. The devil plays for souls. And he don't give back easily what he takes. We're in a war for our children. The whole world's in a war for their children. All we can do is take care of the ones God's given us. He plays for keeps. You know, sometimes we don't take that very seriously. But he plays for keeps. He fights dirty to keep his game. To destroy it. To use whatever method he can to destroy it. And he will. He will. If we don't have mothers that are willing to stand by their fathers, that are trying to protect them from this enemy that we have, that comes spouting Bible verses a lot of times, that comes looking so innocent so often, whether it's someone at church sometimes, or something on the TV sometimes, or the internet, whatever. It comes in talking real sweet and nice. But he's already got a plan to entangle, to trap. Be wise. May God add his blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless y'all. Depart in peace.